This is our third message in a series, and I will try to be as brief as I can. Our first message was on what has he done for you? And our second message was what is he doing for you? And at the end of that particular message, we all sang number 117 out of the blue book, What Can He Do? And so that's the title of today's message. What can he do for you? We have been reading a lot in Isaiah. Isaiah is a wonderful book. I still want to encourage you to use Isaiah when you're doing your home devotions. There's many scripture in there that is just so, what a blessing it is to inspire our faith. And I read that Isaiah was generally regarded as the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And he was known as the prophet of redemption. And the key word that is in Isaiah is salvation. Salvation is used a lot in the book of Isaiah. So we've been looking in the 53rd chapter, specifically. It's identifying Christ. It's a portrayal of who Christ is and what he was going to do for us. And it's been the theme of the first two messages. But the purpose that we have, the burden, we haven't really come to the burden of this series of messages, but these have been messages to lay a foundation for what our burden will be later. And we have desired, by the help of the Lord, to make each one of us feel that God is our personal God. All that he suffered, all that he did it for you. I know after one of the messages, Cheryl gave a little exhortation, and she said that the Lord spoke to her one day that if she were the only person alive, Christ would have died for her. And that's what we want each one of us to feel, that we used a portion of a song that has been impressed upon me different times. And the song was, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's personal. And the song says, speaks these words. It says that, though his eyes were on the crowd that was there, it said, he looked ahead in time. And Christ was looking ahead in time for you and for me. Thank the Lord. You may think that's impossible, but he did for each one of us. And it says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Another part of it said, he knew me. He loved me. And so he gave his life. He suffered all of those things for you. And we wanted it to be very personal. We're going to turn now to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. And we're going to call this, this is the gospel message. You know what the gospel means? What the word gospel? Good news. We have a good news message this morning. What can he do for you? What did he do? What has he done? But now we're going to, what can he do for you and me? Sister Lorinda has given a testimony this morning. If you paid attention and you got a hold of what she was saying, this is what God can do. That which I could not do for myself, He did it for me. Thank the Lord. Let's hold on to that this morning. So in the 61st chapter, it says, the first verse, "The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings." That's the gospel. And He said, "To preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Thank the Lord. But if we turn over to Luke, the 4th chapter, we will find that Jesus used that same passage, and He spoke those words that were very similar in that, the 61st chapter. And it starts about verse 17. It said that Jesus was there in the temple, and He asked for the book, and He was open the book, and He found the place where it was written, just what we read. And now He's repeating it in His day, because He was the fulfillment of it. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Said good news over there. And now He's saying, "To the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind." Went a little bit farther here. Something is added here. God can do all things for us. He may not. He is able to heal blind eyes. Do you believe it? But what about people that are blind spiritually? He's able to heal spiritual eyes. Thank the Lord. And it says that the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Anybody here been bruised? He was bruised. Remember the message where we spoke about Him being oppressed? So He might understand your oppression. He was bruised for you and me. And now He's come to help those that are bruised. Thank the Lord. And then to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And you skip down to verse 21, and He said this in addition to that. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This is what He can do. What He will do for you and me. Personally, He can help you and me. Thank the Lord. So, this song says, what can He do? He can do what other powers can never do. That's what the song says. So anybody here this morning, do you need to hear the good tidings? Do you need some encouragement this morning? I think we all need that. From time to time, we need words of encouragement and comfort. He can do it. And anybody here need healing? Anybody need healing of the body? Anybody need healing of their spirit? Or healing of their mind? He is able. He can do it for you. So, anybody here with a broken heart? Anybody here with disappointments? He is a healer of broken hearts.
Thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Anybody here feel like you're bound? He came to set the captives free. I praise Him today because I have been bound in the past. And He delivered me. I was bound with depression. Could not rise above it. But He came. And at the very moment when I thought I could not take any more, when the temptation was there to take my life, He broke the power of it. Thank the Lord. This is what He can do. God was so good to me. Long before He took Jan, He broke the power of something that I would not have been able to have handled. That's what He can do. That's the good news. That's the wonderful news. Let's go back now to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to go on to verses 3 and 4. This is what He can do. Verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. He's got something for you if you're mourning. He is the God of all comfort. And He can heal a broken heart that is wounded with mourning and grief. I've been there. Look what He can do next. He can give beauty for your ashes. Things that have is no value in your life. Things that is worthless. Things that could go into the trash. He wants to take those things and turn them into beautiful things. I'm going to give you beauty for that which is worthless in your life. He can do that. And then it says He'll give the oil of joy for mourning. He can turn those things into joy that is not happy things. Things that hurt the heart. He can give us joy. He can do that. And He will give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He can do that. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He wants to be glorified by what He does for you. Verse 4 is really our burden today. And they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Do you have a picture of something that is broken down and wasted away and crumbling and it is of no value at all? Lives can become like that. Our lives can become broken. We can be broken from even our childhood. Don't you know that? And we can become adults and we're nothing more than grown up broken children. But God can fix those things. This is what He can do with mankind. Not just you and you and you, but the whole world, if they come to Him, He has that power to release them from their brokenness, from their wasted places. So our thought this morning, I want us to have a hope of this power that he has to fix us when we can't fix ourselves. You and I can't just turn over a new leaf. We can't come to the New Year's and say, well, I'm going to be different this year. I promised myself, and it might take, like Sister Lorinda said, might not last very long. But God can do it. So he wants to build those waste places, those broken places, and he wants to raise up those former desolations, and he wants to do it for generations. What does that mean? That means he wants to do for you that you don't pass it on to your children. That the next generation doesn't suffer the same things that you suffer. Can he do that too? He can. I've experienced it. I know what he can do. Thank the Lord. So I'm going to give you just a few verses, other verses from Isaiah. He says, I will raise up the decayed places. You ever been in a place that you felt like was decayed? Just going back to dust and powder and mold, and all of those things are decaying things. Another scripture says, they shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of those broken down places. Thou, and I added that. And thou shalt be called, listen what we can be called by the help of the Lord, the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths. Oh, I want to tell you, there is hope in God. God is able to do this for every one of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter what has happened to us in life, no matter the choices that we have made, he can restore those places. Going to Ezekiel 36 now, in verses 9 and 10, parts of those verses. Listen to what it says. It says, behold, I am for you. We have someone that's on our side. Someone that is wanting to fix the brokenness of our lives. He says, I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. What does that mean? That means that probably you've not been producing any good fruit in your life. In order to produce good fruit, it has to be plowed up. The ground has to be broken up. What's next? It has to be sow some seeds. In order for fruit to be in our lives, he has to come and he has to till us. He has to plow in our life and get out the stones in one place, it says. That's also an Isaiah scripture. He'll take out the stones and he'll make the fertile soil to be valuable and be able to produce when we haven't been able to produce in the past. But he's desiring that you and I be producers. Thank the Lord. So he says, I'm for you. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to help you. And then it says, the waste places shall be builded. It'll be built again. It'll come back to a fruition, to bearing fruit. Thank the Lord. If you skip on down to Ezekiel, the same chapter, 36, I had that scripture written down, but I'm going to turn over and read the one that's in 34 and 35. Oh, they're wonderful passages in here. And he says, the desolate land shall be tilled. That's where we were. Our land was desolate. We couldn't produce the good. We couldn't be a blessing to God, and we couldn't be a blessing to anyone else. The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. People know if you and I are in a desolate place. They can see it. But look at the next verse. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. That's what he can do. He can change our deserts, that we blossom and bloom, that there are streams that will flow in our desert places. You understand what we're saying? We've all been in some desert places, and we needed him to come and change us.
Amen.
Do a major overhaul sometimes. Thank the Lord. Going to turn to another scripture in Joel, second chapter, verse 25. Oh, this is a wonderful promise. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the parma worm. What is that? Have you ever felt like that maybe some years were just so lost that you could never recover anything from it? You can't. But God says, I'll restore. I'll restore those years that seem wasted. We have a song that we sometimes have heard, wasted years, oh how foolish. I know of individuals personally that wasted their life, wasted their years, chose their own way. They even raised their children out in the world, you might say. They didn't pass on to them the truth of God's word or the love for the truth or the love for the people of God. They didn't pass it on. And later in life, they got saved. Now that looks like waste. But you know what that means for those people that feel they've wasted their years? It means that he will work with their children. He'll do everything he can in those places that seem like was foolish waste. He'll be faithful to their children. Thank the Lord. So the promise is, I will restore those wasted years. Thank the Lord. I read a book one time. I've told it here before, but it's been a while. And I will probably tell this over and over down through my life, because God ordered for me to read this book. This book, I had the book. I started reading it. It's a true story. I was so turned off by the story that I put it away. I probably got rid of it. And then one day, Lauren was looking in a bookstore, and I'm rather bored. And I'm standing there just against the wall, enduring it. And my eye goes to this book. I didn't recognize it. I went over, I pulled it out. I bought it, not realizing it was the same book. But you see, I didn't finish the other book. The story was about a woman that was very rebellious. she and her husband lived a very worldly life. Her father was a minister. And there came a place in her life that God dealt with her and she changed. Her husband died. And she was left alone with her children. And she was broken and she did not think she could go on. And she had this dream. And in her dream she saw this little hut out here in the middle of a field. And she was drawn to it. The door was open when she approached the little hut. And as she walked in, she realized it was a potter working with clay. He didn't look up. He was working with a vessel. But as she stood there, there were some beautiful pots on the shelves behind him, and one just fell off and just broke in the floor. The potter reached down and picked up the pieces. Oh, I needed this. I need it today. He picked up the pieces and he dipped his hand in a molten liquid, it said, and he began to mend that pot and he put it back together. And then he looked up at the woman and he said, "Better is a broken pot mended by the Holy Spirit than a pot that is never broken." Oh, I want to tell you, I knew that was what the Lord wanted me to read the book. Sometimes we feel broken. Sometimes we feel like we can't go on. But the Holy Spirit can mend us if we're broken. He can restore us. Well, I read about the Japanese. They have a technique that was very interesting and very similar to my story that I read. So I'm going to read part of it to you. When a bowl or a teapot or a precious vase is broken, the Japanese gives new life to the broken vessel. The brokenness becomes more refined thanks to the scars. Oh, I'll tell you what. God may see some scars in our life that's been repaired, and he looks on it as beautiful. And I know that some of you may have seen some of these. When I looked online and I saw some of the results of their technique of repairing broken vessels. They are beautiful. And you think when they're broken, they're ready to throw away. We don't throw away broken lives, do we? And so what they do, the brokenness becomes more refined thanks to its scars. The art of restoration uses precious metals like liquid gold or liquid silver, joining the fragments, making the vessel more valuable than before and more beautiful. Do you have a picture of a broken vessel that's marred in the hands of the Lord and now it is repaired and restored? Oh, it's beautiful. Have any of you ever been broken and restored? I would dare to say we could all raise our hand and say, "I have been broken, but now I'm beautiful. Thank the Lord." So I'm going to read you another Isaiah scripture, Isaiah 40 and 4. This is what he can do. "Every valley shall be exalted, Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. It's a familiar scripture. You see, the Lord doesn't want us to be too high, and He doesn't want us to be too low. And He wants to take the crooked places in our life and straighten them out. And He wants to take the rough places in our life and make them smooth. You believe that? This is what He can do. Isaiah 45, 2-3. He says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. See, it's repeated again. It's repeated several times in the scriptures. I will give thee, listen to this, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Don't you know when we feel like we're in a dark place, He's just waiting to open up something for you that becomes a treasure? I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, call thee by name. He knows your name. It's personal. He wants to be your personal Savior, your personal God. He wants to do for you that which no man can do for you, that which you cannot do for yourself. He will do it. Malachi 3:11, a wonderful passage. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. You got to get a hold of some of these words. What the Lord can do and will do for you. There is a devourer. It is Satan. He doesn't want to turn some people loose. And he wants to devour your fruit. He wants to spoil your life. He wants to hinder your walk. He wants to destroy your faith. He is a destroyer. And after, at the end of this passage here, guess who said those words? Thus saith the Lord God. If He said it, He can do it. And He will do it. We're going to close with a song that the Lord has had on my mind this week. And for those of you that have OKC songs on your app, I'm going to just read a chorus of it, but I would like for us to sing it together at the end of the message. This song says, there is a river and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. So what did He do? What has He done? What is He doing? And now what can He do? I am trusting that the Lord will bring these thoughts to your mind, and that you will be able to retain them as we go to the burden that we have on our heart. We felt like that the Lord showed us. Have you ever been one that liked to read a book and read the last chapter first? There are people that they want to see the end before they start. Do you know how I look at a magazine or something? I look at it from the back front. It's just in me that way. And that's what the Lord has done with these series of messages. He's giving you the ending to go back to the beginning, because that's the true burden. We have to understand what he bore for us, what he did for us, what he is doing all the time. What is he doing? How many might remember the second message? Oh, that's a challenge because it's been a week or two ago.
Intercessor.
He is interceding. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is praying for you and me every day. But now, what is he doing now? He's taking our waste places and he's making them into something beautiful. Thank the Lord. But the secret is now come to that fountain. That's where you'll find all of the help. Come, there is a river and it will not run dry. It has a vast supply. It will reach each one of us. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.